gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why as others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Why as others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we give you praise for this opportunity to minister your word. In the power of the Holy Spirit, speak to your people and cause us to hearken to your voice, and may we live a life that will make us to inherit your kingdom, not indulging in dangerous assumption. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us take our Bible text from the book of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 1. And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know that hour I will come upon you. You have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Listener, at this moment we want to speak on something that is very important to the Christian faith. In this generation where so many things are taken for granted in Christian race, the Lord has inspired our hearts to bring this message to you as somebody who is desirous to be in the kingdom of God. I also want to let you know, whether you are a believer already or you are not a believer, this message is for you. And by the grace of God, the topic of our discussion in this message says, the dangerous assumption. The dangerous assumption. When you talk of assumption, you are talking of what somebody thinks that is real. So what somebody thinks that is in existence. What somebody thinks that is the real thing and the truth about a matter and a fact. But in the direction we are taking this message by the Spirit of God, we are talking about dangerous assumption, which means there are assumptions that are dangerous. And I would like you to pay clear attention to this message so that you will either know whether your own assumption is dangerous or it is safe. So that at the day when the trumpet of God shall sound, on that day of great convocation of the saints of God, when the whole world will stand at ease with God, when the whole world will wait for the great gathering, all the nations of the world, those who even think that there will be no resurrection, there will be no rapture, you must be forced to believe and to stand before God. What do we mean by dangerous assumption? Look at the place we read. We are going back to our Bible text, Revelation chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6. Jesus, who is the Redeemer of the church and also the head of the church, found it necessary to give a very wonderful message of revelation to his apostle and elder John while he was in the island of Patmos. Paul saw the man of God was one of the persons that lived longest among the apostles, and that is why he is referred to as the elder John, the apostle John. And what did he tell him? He said, I have 7 churches in Asia. These churches, they are taking a lot of things for granted just in our own generation. So I don't want them to remain ignorant. I don't want them to remain confused so that they won't be disappointed in the last minute. Take this message to the 7 churches. And among the 7 churches in Asia, the message we are considering, the text we took, is for the message given to the church in Sardis. And what was the message? You know, this was a church where people will come, they dance, they sing, they pray. Everything seemed all right in the presence of the people. Miracles were taking place, prosperity was going on, healing and deliverance. And based on that, they were thinking that all was well with the church. The believers there were already assuring themselves of the kingdom of God. But God said one thing. Look at how Jesus introduced himself in the text. He said, and to the angel of the church in Sardis, write what is to be written. Listen to what he said should be written. He said, introduce the giver of the message first. He said, this message and this assertion and this particular assessment and evaluation of that church is given by somebody who has the 7 spirits of God. What does that mean, my brother, my sister? It means somebody who has the Spirit of God, not by measure. In Hebrew cosmology and thinking, 7 stands for totality, absoluteness, completeness. In other words, when you hear that he has the 7 spirits of God, it means he has the total Spirit of God. So that whatever he says about you, whatever he says about your Christianity, whatever he says about a particular church, that thing is the absolute truth, the total truth, the unarguable truth. So what was the message? Jesus said, I have the Spirit of God. Let me give you the reassessment of yourself. He told them one thing, and that is the main anchor of this message. Dangerous assumption. These people were thinking because they belong to a wonderful church, maybe I don't know the name of their denomination, so maybe they have one of the wonderful denominational names. Things were going on. Gospel band was playing. Pastor was jumping up and down, shouting, and deliverance was taking place. They thought that they were in line and in alignment with the will of God. But Jesus said, wait a bit. What was the message of Jesus to them? He was telling them, you are having a dangerous assumption. What did he say? Listen to me. And this is very important for all of us. He said, I know your works. You have a name that you are alive. Very, very serious. He said, you assume that you are alive. You think that you are alive because every activity that's supposed to be going on in the church is going on. For that reason, you think you are alive. He said, but hear me out. This is the authentic, infallible decision and assessment of God about this church. He said, you have a name that you are alive, but the truth remains that you are dead. Which means that these people think that they're already making it to the kingdom of God. They can pray in tongues. They can sing Christian music. They can go for revival programs, night vigils, tarry night. They can give their tithe. They can give offering. They can sow seed of faith. They can, you know, learn Christian languages and say, God bless you. It is well. God bless you. You shall be the head and not the tail. These things are wonderful Christian expressions. But let me ask you as you listen. Are you sure, as you're listening to this message, are you sure that you have not taken dangerous assumption? Because you belong to a particular denomination, because you're a pastor, you stand on the pulpit, you pull crowd, You know, this is a generation that we are crowd conscious generation. Any pastor that pulls crowd is a wonderful man of God. But I want to tell you, it is very dangerous to assess your faithfulness and stand with God by the size of the crowd. You can be a pastor that pulls stadium crowd, but God may be saying, my friend, you have a name of a man of God, but already in my record, by my assessment, you are dead. I have rejected you. You know, people keep on arguing, can a pastor be an unbeliever? The answer is wonderfully true. Can a priest, can a bishop, can any deliverance minister be an unbeliever? Let me take you to people who take dangerous assumptions. You see, you know Eli. Eli was a priest in the house of God, high priest for that matter. So it was assumed so far he was a priest, and all his children, especially Hophni and Phinehas, they were also priests. So it was taken for granted that they are children of God. They are born again. They are heaven bound. But wait a minute. What happened? One day God decided to give Eli the shock of his life. He said, let me tell you whom your children are. In the Bible recorded in 1 Samuel. If you read it, chapter 1, it said, the children of Eli were the sons of Belial. Belial means Satan. Because they did not know God. Remember, the Bible was talking about priests, preachers, miracle workers, deliverance ministers. But this is the assessment of God. Even these ones, they can raise funds. You know, this is a generation, we have professional fundraisers, you know, motivational talkers. We have taken the place of motivational talking to replace the unction of the Holy Ghost. We have replaced eloquence to mean anointing. But let me tell you, this is not true. Eloquence can be exhibited by a chronic habitual unbeliever. He can be talented in speaking, in having high oratory power and the influence. But today on our pulpits, what do we see? We preach a lot of trash. We preach a lot of things. This is a generation where that theological axiom doesn't stand again. What did they tell us in theology? That the pulpit must be higher than the pew. Listen very well. The pulpit must be higher than the pew. In other words, the holiness of the preacher, the priest, the reverend, the minister must be greater than the holiness of the congregation. The sanctification and consecration of the preacher must be greater than that of the people he's preaching to. But what do we see today? The crowd is dictating the message. If you preach holiness today, you become an archaic, outdated preacher. Nobody is interested. Just tell people, if you came to this program with Volkswagen, as you are going this night, you are going to go with Jeep. Everybody will jump up. That is the generation we are in, and that is dangerous assumption. That you have prosperity materially doesn't make you a child of God. That is very important. That you give heavy donation in the church doesn't make you heaven bound. I want to tell people the principle of seed sowing and giving, it works for unbelievers. What giving cannot do for an unbeliever is that it can never earn you the kingdom of God. But once you sow seed, once you give offering, once you give sacrificially, the principle of blessing shall follow you. But the kingdom of God, forget it. That is why I want to tell you, if you think because your pastor is saying you are one of the greatest donors and for that you're a child of God, very dangerous. Let me also tell you about a group of people who like titles in the church. I want to tell you that this is a title conscious generation, and we have brought it into the church. You will look at somebody, he's elder, he's a deacon, he is a knight, he is a lady, whatever you think. We want to cover up emptiness. And we think by accumulating many religious titles, you are making it to the kingdom. Lie. Title has nothing to do with what we are saying today. Jesus said to the people, even though all the religious and Christian activities are going on in that church, all of you are dead. Spiritually, you are dead. You are nothing before God. I want to tell you that it is important that this message makes sense to you. So many of us have lost focus. about heaven. So many of us are noise makers. We are busy breeding miracle seekers instead of disciples. A disciple is somebody who looks like Jesus, who behaves like Jesus, who obeys Jesus in everything he or she does. But today, what do we have? Miracle seekers. Tell a typical Nigerian Christian that you may suffer persecution because of your faith. What will be the response? It's not my portion in Jesus' name. I reject it in Jesus' name. Is that the Christian way? No way. Jesus said something through the Apostle Paul. He said, as many of you as want to live righteously in Christ Jesus, he said he must suffer persecution. Do we still have persecution today? Why are they persecuting us? Nothing. Because we have taken God for granted. We have taken dangerous assumption. Look at our dress code by our sisters. The world is controlling the way we appear. Because we have young men who nobody mentored, nobody discipled, nobody tutored. They have taken to the pulpit, some of them general overseers, some of them generous pretenders. Nobody tutored them. They have formulated very dangerous, hell-bound doctrines and theology. They tell you it doesn't matter how you appear. It doesn't matter what you do. But let me tell you, it is a blatant lie. Heaven has principles. Heaven has protocols. Heaven and the Christian race have do's and don'ts. That you make so much noise and you speak in tongues don't move God. What moves God is that as many as live in righteousness and holiness, they are the people. Look at what he told them. If you want, you will not repent. I am coming back to you. Look at us. Who is controlling the church today? Who is controlling the church? Because today you look into the church, if you are still in the Spirit of God, you weep, you cry, you lament. Because let me tell you, many of us are 50 or 1 million kilometers away from the kingdom of God. Yet we are singing the Lord's song in a strange land. That is what was happening to the Israelites. But they knew their stand. When they were taken into captivity, the Babylonians wanted to take them for granted. And what did they tell them? He said, why not sing unto us one of the songs you sang in Zion? And they looked up and said, in strange land, in the land of adultery and idolatry, in the land of immorality and ungodliness and godlessness. They said, oh, let us sing this lamentation by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat and wept. When we remembered Zion and they that carried us away captive required from us a song. Listening to their lamentation, they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But let me tell you, many of us are already singing the Lord's song in a strange land. How do we describe a gospel musician who is not born again, but he is singing about heaven? A gospel musician who lives in immorality, a gospel musician who will commit a lot of immoral acts in the process of recording his music, and he wants the souls to be converted and go to kingdom of God, singing the Lord's song in a strange land. Let me tell you that you sing gospel music, yet you live in sin and disobedience and outright worldliness, does not give you guarantee to the kingdom. You are taking dangerous assumption. Look at what Jesus said. We go back to our text and coming back to the musicians because we have problem. Today we have turned the gospel music into the entertainment industry. That is the problem we have. Many gospel artists have turned it to entertainment industry. We want to sell. We want to make money. What makes it gospel? Gospel is good news. You get the original name, it is evangelism, euangelion. That is the good news. You want to tell people about the kingdom. Why are you singing about the kingdom that does not know you? Some of you who started gospel music when you were Christians, as you were going along, you deviated. You wanted money. You go and invite even native doctors to dance for your VCD. You go and get naked girls to dance and you sing, you think you are making it. Dangerous assumption. No wonder the scripture said that judgment will start from the house of God, from the priests, from the preachers, from the gospel artists. You know, in church arrangement, after the pastors, you get the choir. If there are people who should live holily and righteously and sincerely, they are people who sing to the glory and the praise of His name. What are you singing, my brother gospel artist? Who is your life like? Some of you drink alcohol to stand on the stage to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But you are under the influence of alcohol, you know. Dangerous assumption. Remember what Jesus said. I know your works. How many of you singers? I don't know why God is pushing me to lay much emphasis on your ministry. How many of you singers can just sing gospel record and people will listen to it and they begin to shed tears? They begin to kneel down and say, God, I come back to you. But today it is storytelling. Anybody who picks the microphone, who picks the guitar and the drums, and you start telling you how he traveled to Ninth Mile, or how he traveled to Enugu or to Aba, motocrossed his car, he jumped out, it's miraculous. That is gospel music. Trash! Dangerous assumption. It is time to take stand. It is time to say, let me tell you something. Dear listener, the Bible said in 2 Timothy, or he said, nevertheless, chapter 2, nevertheless, verse 19, the foundation of God stands sure, having this inscription, the Lord knoweth those that are his, and let every man that nameth the name of Christ, the word is what? Depart. But some of us are just tilting away. You know, tilting is one of geology language. When you are digging a tunnel in geology and you meet a very hard rock that cannot be smashed or crushed, the geologist will tell you, you can tilt away from the rock so that you continue the tunnel. Some of us have just tilted away from sin. But the Bible said, whosoever names the name of Christ should depart. Some of you listening to me, you travel. When you go to the airport, once you enter the departure hall, you know what you are waiting for. You are waiting for your flight. Once the flight comes, you board your flight, you are departing from that venue, from that airport. You must move to another destination. That is exactly what God is saying. Anybody who wants to make heaven, anybody who wants to get into the kingdom of God must depart. Total separation from sin. Total separation from compromise. Total separation from worldliness. My brother, my sister, I want to challenge you. God is interested in seeing you into the kingdom of God. So many believers have joined the bandwagon. This is the generation where the spirit of bandwagon is reigning. What you rejected the day you answered altar call, the year you repented, those things the Holy Spirit ministered to you personally and said, don't do this, don't do that. Even if everybody is doing it, today you say, I stopped doing those things those days because I was immature. That is because of new zeal. Now I am a mature believer. I can wear anything. I can drink alcohol. I can do whatever I want to do. I am now mature. Let me tell you, it's not maturity. We call it backsliding. You are taking dangerous assumption if you call it maturity. I want to plead with you. As you listen to the message we are preaching, the heart of God is bleeding. Because if God should give us what I call mock rapture, you will be embarrassed. You will be surprised that so many of us who shout about heaven don't even know anything about heaven. So many of us are interested in how we make money. Look at us again, preachers. How do you know a successful preacher today? How do you know a successful pastor today? The kind of cars he drives, the kind of sophisticated building he has, the kind of golden wristwatch he puts on. That is how we measure a successful pastor. Once you come down from a very mighty jeep, people will say he has made it. He has made it. Once they invite you to preach in Lagos, in Abuja, in America, Spain, Germany, you are now a successful pastor. But let me tell you, the Bible says, you have a name that you are alive. But the truth before the creator of the whole world, the God that sees, the truth remains, you are dead spiritually. Somebody can be dead spiritually, but he still make noise. Spiritual death is not physical death. In physical death, activities cease. But in spiritual death, activities will be going on. You can still be preaching. You can still be praying. You can still be talking in tongues. But those things are just paraphernalia of emotion and worldliness. I want to plead with my listeners. Heaven is real. Hellfire is real. Let us stop this dangerous assumption. You may not like what you hear today, but one day, the Lord of miracles shall look at you face to face and say, did you listen to that message? Dangerous assumption. I remember those years when we repented newly. You look at a believer before he gets into a business, he will declare fasting and prayer and say, God, is this business a Christian business? Should I indulge in this business as a believer? Do you still hear that today? I remember those days when sisters will finish dressing. They will go and stand at a mirror and say, Holy Spirit, should I move out with this dressing coat? Not today again. Sisters tell you they talk about civilization. They talk about globalization. They talk about liberalization. But these three words are very dangerous to the Christian faith. Globalization, liberalization, civilization. But let me draw your attention to one scripture. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. The Bible authentically declares there, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does it tell you? No amount of globalization that can change the standard of God. No amount of liberalization can change the standard of God. No amount of civilization can change the standard of God. Why not tell yourself the truth today? Are you sure you are not engaging in dangerous assumption? You think you are making it? Because what you are doing now is being approved by the crowd. You know how we measure things that are right in Christianity today is when the crowd is approving it. Whatever the crowd approves today, we say, no problem, no problem. Look into the church. We assume so many things dangerously. Look at the wedding in the church. Do you know that these days that believers don't have code of conduct in wedding, Christian faith? Dangerous assumption. Look at the things our sisters wear into the church. They wear tube, sleeveless something, exposing what should not be exposed. What is meant for their husbands alone are now being looked upon by the priest and pastor. And some of those people, if you are wedding them, if you are a spirit-filled pastor, you have to throw away your face before you see what you're supposed not to see if you're still heaven conscious. That is the problem we have in the church. You look at somebody, he will even know that she will know that what I'm wearing into the church supposed not to be. She will sew jacket to cover the emptiness. Once the church dismisses, she will throw away the jacket and become a harlot in dressing. Because the scripture said, there are dressings that are made for harlots. Let me tell you, Western world is not my standard in Christianity. Let me tell you, any nation in the world cannot be a standard of Christianity. Somebody who brought the gospel to me can backslide tomorrow. I want to tell you, some of those people you think that they are gospel, they are our standard in gospel, they are people that have backslidden. What are we contending with in the Western world today? What we are experiencing in Nigeria today, what we call revival, is what I call commotion. Very few revivers. Yes, we have spiritual awakening and consciousness, but the truth remains that we are crying to God for genuine revival. It is this kind of liberalization of the gospel that started in the Western world that today we are talking in the church that a man should go and marry a man and wed them in the church. And we are keeping quiet. We are emulating them. Let me tell you, this message is for you to prepare for the kingdom of God. This message is for you to seek God. I want to implore you to continue to listen to this message as you turn your tape to the other side and get the message completed. God bless you.